are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new episode of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am joined by my good friend and special guest, Christopher Miziano, the head of the Buffoon Crew over at the Giant Insider. I absolutely love saying that, the Buffoon Crew. I can't wait to get my shirt. I love that. That's just brilliant. Anyway, Giant fans, we are breaking down the Giant position by position. Yesterday we did quarterbacks. Today we're going to take a look at the running backs. We're going to take a look at the 2018 overview, or review rather. Then we're going to spotlight a player and then wrap up with an outlook for 2019. And Chris, I think if we're talking running backs, we've got to start with some kid by the name of what's his name? Barkley?
Yeah. I think they call him Saquon, or I don't know, some touch by the hands of God. I don't know what they have. Okay. Not a bad looking rookie we got there, Pat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, were you surprised that this kid just came in? I mean, we knew that he was pretty talented, but are you surprised at what they were able to get out of this kid? Just, and not just on the field, but off the field.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I expected real nice things from him his rookie season. I did not expect this much. No. On the field, his production was off the charts, 1,300 yards rushing, 91 receptions. I mean, just incredible, Pat, behind a mediocre offensive line. It's remarkable what the kid has done. Off the field, just a true professional, just a great, great kid. You know what? The biggest compliment in my eyes, Pat, the way I look at it, is that he's a type of kid that you would say, okay, date my daughter. And to me, that's like beyond the realms of belief, you know, that I would say something like that. But that's the type of human being he is. Team guy all the way. Cares, Pat, you know that. You saw that plenty of times in the locker room after games, how much this kid cares about winning and losing and all that. Takes losing to heart. Wants to learn more. Wants to improve even more. And let's get this kid an offensive line, Pat, that could blow open some holes for him. And you're looking at 1,600 yards next year.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley finishing with 1,307 yards, second behind Dallas's Ezekiel Elliott. Just a tremendous young man. And you know who he reminds me a lot of, Chris? He reminds me a lot, and I've never covered this guy, but from what I remember following his career, Larry Fitzgerald. He just has that makeup of Larry Fitzgerald, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, from everything I read about Fitzgerald, you know, and everything you know about him, yeah, he's just a great human being. And it wouldn't surprise me if he wins that Walter Payton, or at least gets nominated for him down the road too, Pat. That's the type of kid he is.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, this kid coming in, you know, we got excited over what we saw in the springtime. We saw how they were using him in the passing game, getting him out in space, using him on wheel routes and whatnot, lining him up at times as a wide receiver. And we didn't really see as much of that in the season as I thought we would. We started to see a little bit more of that in the second half of the season. But I think that's what really, really, you know, caught my eye, you know, because, you know, you see it in practice and you say, okay, he's going against his own teammates. And we weren't really sure how good the Giants defense was going to be. And that's another story for next week. But, you know, but when you saw him do it against, you know, live competition, I mean, that was certainly an eye opener, I thought.
Yeah, it's just so impressive, man. It just, you can't even describe it. You know, everything he's done, like you said, you know, I did expect more from. Listen, he did have 91, but, you know, a large chunk of that was set downs from Eli. That we know, right? I expect a little more design going forward, tight routes. But I'm sure we'll see that more next year. But, yeah, he's everything. He was everything you could have asked for from a number one pick, no question about it. And you know what's scary, Pat, is that you see the production he had this year, and I don't know about you, Pat, but the feeling I get is that he's going to give even more next year. I think you're going to see even more production from this kid, if that's possible.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if there was one part of his game that I felt was not quite up to snuff. And tell me if you disagree. I thought some of his blitz pickups weren't as physical as you'd like to see. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. That the only negative that I saw from his game this season was the blitz pickup. Now, he was there at times, not like he whiffed and he was in a wrong gap and all that. It's just that he's not physical enough. He just blocks a little too high. You know, he's got to improve on technique. A lot of times he was kind of bowled over, picking up a linebacker or a stunt or whatever it might have been, and he got overpowered. He has to improve. He's a strong kid, so that's not the strength is not an issue. The technique is. A few times maybe recognizing the blitz scheme, but that all comes with being a rookie, Pat. And that's something he recognizes. He's something he's actually talked about with me. We actually talked about that one time. And he knows he has to improve on it. And I expect him to, Pat, next season.
Yeah, I think he said he was going to take maybe a few days off and they get right to training out in L.A. I mean, this kid was, you know, whereas some guys will take, you know, several weeks off, he was itching to get started again.
Yep, that's what he told me. I think he was with me that time, but that's what he said, because he's taking a few days off. He's heading out to L.A. with his baby and, you know, and his family, and he's going to start up training. He made a comment the other day I think it was Monday. He made a comment about he could play right now if he wanted to. That's the type of kid he is. Amazing physical specimen. And he'll be even better next year, Pat. No question about it. He'll probably be even stronger. He's only 21, 22, whatever he is. And he's going to work at everything that he feels he needs to work at. That's the good thing. He's not talking out of his, you know what, when the kid says, hey, I need to improve. Yeah, right. When the kid says, hey, I need to improve on this aspect of my game, guess what? He's going to do exactly what he says.
Yes, he is. And you know, one area that I thought he really made a lot of progress in, and this was a knock on him coming out of college, was that he wasn't a patient runner, that a lot of times, instead of following his blocking, he would quick bounce stuff out. I thought as the season went on, he became more of a patient runner.
Absolutely. You know, you know, he ran between the tackles. He developed some patience. You know what? The prime example, Pat, was that Bears game, the overtime run. Mm-hmm. Okay. He waited for that play to develop, and he got that. I think it was a 17-yard run, whatever it was, in that overtime. That big play against the Bears. He knew he needed to work in that, and he's worked on that. He's developed a lot of patience. He runs between the tackles. I remember that. Coming out on Saquon, coming out of Penn State, was that? So I read that a few times. He's only an outside the box runner. That's all he could do. You know, he can't run between the tackles. Remember that nonsense? Okay.
Yeah.
And you saw this year that he could run between the tackles. You also saw how he could lower his shoulder and plow somebody over if he has to. Okay. He's a very strong kid. So the experts back last spring, who said he can't do this, he can't do that, he's not patient, he can't remember. As usual, you know, you could throw that out the window, okay? He's shown all those people that wrote about him wrong, okay? The kid could do it all. Forget about his hands, Patty. When you want to get into his hands, forget about that. He has unbelievable hands, too.
Yeah, and he was also pretty good, I think, with yards per contact. I'm just trying to pull up the stats here. Let's see. What did he do? Saquon Barkley, okay, he had 40 avoided tackles as a rusher and 31 as a receiver. So his elusive rating was 67.4, that according to Pro Football Focus. Everything you could ask for, a record-breaking rookie season. And let's not forget, Chris, it just seems to me that, you know, whereas for years with Odell Beckham Jr. was the face of the franchise, I think we have a new face of the franchise here.
Oh, yeah, Patricia. Yes, we do. I just saw an article on that, as a matter of fact, that we have a new leader. 26 is the new leader of this team, and he's the face of this franchise, as he should be, Pat. Okay? And Pat, you know, you saw that leadership coming out of him in the latter half of the season. You saw him on the sidelines pumping up the offensive line, what he wants. You saw him in the presses saying, I need to take charge more. I need to get this involved. I got to get this straightened out. And he's just a rookie. And you know what, Pat? The veterans accepted it. They saw where it's coming from. They see the work he puts in. Hey, Pat, he's the face of the franchise for the next 8 to 10 years. No question about it.
And you couldn't think of a better guy to be the face of your franchise. And, you know, the thing that really struck me, Chris, and was at that last game after Dallas. Saquon had just set all kinds of rookie records, and you were the first one to get to him. I know I joined the little crowd afterwards. How he was sitting on his stool, upset because they had lost, and it was like, you know, forget about the records. We lost the game, and he was beside himself. And if I tell you, man, that really. I gained a whole new level of respect for him. Not that I didn't have respect for him before, but to see him so upset, you know, you talk about guys who hate to lose. That was a perfect example.
Pat, I mean, I don't think it was incredible. I mean, as a matter of fact, me and you even mentioned what an accomplishment it was getting the 2,000 yards, only the third rookie ever, right? I'm sorry, the third player ever to do it, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And he just like looked at us like, yeah, that's nice. Right, but he wasn't impressed. Like it was basically, yeah, but we lost. We were 5-11, right? That's the impression I got from him early in the year when the Eagles beat up on him in MetLife. I remember seeing him in the locker room at the game, telling him, "Hey, Saquon." He looked like he was devastated. You know, trying to talk to him like, "Keep your head up. You know, you got to keep working this and that." And yeah, you know what? When your superstar Pat takes losing like that, it just spreads through the locker room, man. And it's great to see. It really is.
It sure is. Chris, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other running backs and on the team, Wayne Gallman, and we'll have to mention Jonathan Stewart and whatnot. So let's take that break, and we'll come back and continue our discussion. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and Chris Bisiano of the Giant Insider, and we are breaking down each Giant position this week and next week. This week, we're doing offense. We did quarterbacks yesterday. Today, we're doing running backs. And Chris, let's talk about running backs not named Saquon Barkley. And really, you know, not a whole lot there. You had Wayne Gallman, you had Elijah Penny, Jonathan Stewart was brought in. He wasn't able to really, you know, get on track and do anything. But let's start with Jonathan Stewart, because, you know, one of the reasons why Dave Gettleman said he brought Jonathan Stewart on board was because of the leadership. This is a guy that had lasted in the league for over 10 seasons, who was a leader, who knew how to win. You know, he came from a Super Bowl team with the Carolina Panthers. You know, now granted, you can look at the money and say they overpaid for that, but how valuable do you think Jonathan Stewart's leadership really ended up being?
Oh, I think it was very valuable. You know, I think he taught guys like Saquon how to take care of your body, you know, how to deal with the media, the grinds of the NFL season, read defenses, how to look at film, all that. You know, Stewart brought so much of that to not only Saquon, Pat, to a lot of other young kids in our locker room. He was looked up upon as he should be. He's been a veteran in this league and a good locker room guy for a long time in Carolina. Brought it over here. So, yeah, he was a very valuable member. He's a guy that Gettleman likes a ton, and I brought him over for that. You know, besides, you know, at the beginning of the year, they were looking at, you know, some short yardage situations, and then he got hurt. You know, so that was out of the mix. So as far as that part of the game, but yeah, listen, no question about it, man. He helped out Saquon. Saquon talked about it numerous times how much this guy helped him.
Right. The only thing, like I said, is people will look at the money that they spent. You know, could they have gotten Jonathan Stewart for, you know, the veteran minimum, which, you know, I wonder if they can. But the, you know, another thing Stewart did, and you know, I at the time I kind of frowned upon it, but now having thought about it some more, it makes sense. Stewart was a what's the word I want? Not a team builder. That's not the right word. But how often did we see him and some of the players just bonding together and engaging in a game of cards or just hanging around and talking or whatever? So he really helped with that culture, which was a big mission statement for Gettleman and for Shurmur.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, that's mainly why he was brought over here. Like, I agree with you. Maybe it could have been a little cheaper, but it wasn't. That's why they brought him over. And listen, Gettleman talked about it in the presser. One of the first goals he had was to change that culture in the locker room. That's how bad it was last season. In my opinion, Pat, mission accomplished. Brought in character guys like Russell Shepard, Jonathan Stewart, guys like that. And I don't believe culture is an issue at all anymore in the Giants locker room. Now we just got to get some more talent, Pat. That's where we're at right now. And that's what Gettleman said. Hey, we got to get more talent in that locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of talent, let's look at Wayne Gallman, because I think Wayne Gallman kind of got swept under the rug a little bit or forgotten in the wake of, you know, Saquon Barkley. What did you see from Gallman? And do you think he could be the nice complementary piece that, you know, that they need for Saquon Barkley when they want to give this guy a blow?
Yeah, I do, Pat. I like Gallman. I like Gallman. I think, you know, he got some touches early in the year. And I remember the one series he played against the Eagles in the second half. Oh, my gosh, Shermer was crucified, right? He came in for Barkley in the second series. Everybody wanted to know, why wasn't Barkley in here? He shouldn't get arrested. You know, so he was a little bit real under the radar in the second, especially the second half of the season. Barkley seemed like he was out there every series at one time. But listen, I thought Gallman was effective a little bit when he in the touches he got. I like him, Pat. I like him. He was the all-time leading rusher for Clemson until this year. Some kid broke his record this year. I think the kid could be effective. No question about it. I think he's a nice little compliment back to Saquon when Sherman gives him the rest, you know, during a series in a game. I like him. I don't know about you, Pat, but I like him. I want him back. I think the kid has talent.
Oh, I definitely think he does. And I'm looking at the his playing time. He had 59 total snaps on offense. So he ran the ball 51 times for 176 yards, managed 3.5 yards per carry, one touchdown, seven first downs. His yards after contact, 114. So 114 of his 176 yards after contact, which isn't bad. He did have a couple of fumbles. Yeah, he did have a couple of fumbles in there. If I remember one big one that just kind of – we didn't see him for a game or two after that. But, you know, just a, you know, considering that he didn't get – wasn't able to get into that groove because, you know, look, as long as Saquon Barkley's healthy, you're not going to get very many carries. But what he did get, I thought he made, you know, pretty much the most of.
Yeah, it definitely showed flashes. I like him. I think he's a nice kid to have in there next year. And listen, you know, you're going to have another kid returning next year, Pat, since we're talking running backs, and Paul Perkins, you know?
Yes.
So he'll be back next year healthy. And, you know, you could throw him. He's a little bit of a power guy at times. Or you could throw him in the mix, too, you know? So they're going to have a nice little rotation. It's not going to be a rotation, obviously. Barkley's the number one. He's the featured guy. But you're going to have a nice little, I think, 2-3 guy, you know, coming in and showing some different things next season.
Yeah, you know, a guy that I believe they signed to a reserves future contract. He was on the practice squad all last year. It was Robert Martin, the kid from Rutgers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, the fact that they kept him around, you know, and they've added him tells me that they liked him. They probably couldn't find a spot for him last, you know. So I just wonder if maybe Martin's going to challenge, you know, either Perkins and or Gallman, you know.
Hey, Pat, it's all about competition, right? Gettleman talked about that. It's going to be competition. Let them settle it in training camp behind Saquon. That's all. You know, it's competition, Pat. You need that in NFL rosters.
Yes, you do. And then, you know, we also have to just quick mention Elijah Penny, who was brought in as the fullback after Shane Smith, unfortunately, had that disastrous game in week two against Dallas. And I don't know about you, Chris, but I thought, you know, the limited number of snaps Elijah Penny played, he didn't do a bad job.
No, not at all. You know what? He got involved in, you know, they threw a few, targeted him a few times with passes. You know, he gained, what, 20, 25, 30 pounds to become, and now he's a fullback. I thought he did a nice job. Sherman gave him the ball a few times. I thought he was effective. I think he's around next year, Pat. I really do. I think Sherman really likes him. I think he's a nice guy to have on a roster. Throwing in, you know, a little bit of eye formation he did a few times, and with Saquon, with Elijah, he threw him out of the backfield a few times with some passes. So I like the Pat. I think he's staying. You know, I think he's a keeper for next year.
I agree. All right, Chris, let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to look at 2019 and what lies ahead for the running back group. So stay with us, folks. Welcome back to Locked On Giants segment 3. We are reviewing the Giants running backs. We looked at 2018, and Chris, now we're going to look at 2019. And, you know, obviously the Saquon Barkley, he's not going anywhere, but how much better does this kid or can this kid get? I know we talked a little bit about that in the first segment, but realistically speaking, it just seemed like he just did it all and, you know, he topped out. But has he hit his ceiling, do you think?
No, I don't think he has, Pat. I don't think he has. I think when he gets more help up front, he's going to be a 1,500-yard running back. No question about it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see, I don't know about 91 receptions, because like we talked about, a lot of that was check down. But he's going to, without question, Pat, he's going to be a 60 or 70-yard reception back every season. Okay? And, Pat, I don't know about you, but you know, upgrade that line up front. I see 1,500, 1,600-yard rushing seasons out of him. So, no, I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. I don't think he's even close. I should say that closer, but he could do even more. How scary is that?
Wow. It's just amazing because, you know, the thing you got to be careful of, especially with these rookies, is sometimes they have that tremendous season, and then for whatever reason, they start to bottom out a little bit. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Barkley. I don't think it will. But you just wonder how much higher can his ceiling be?
It's going to be higher, Patricia. Get ready. I'm telling you.
I think so, too.
We're going to get some more guys up front. Yep.
I think I agree with you on that. But now let's talk about the rest of the rotation. You know, we talked about, you know, Paul Perkins possibly coming back. You know, he was on the non-football injury, or was it not yet? It was non-football injury because he had the pectoral tear.
Yeah, the shoulder.
You've got Jonathan Stewart still under contract, Wayne Gallman under contract. I don't know. Do you see them bringing back Jonathan Stewart?
No, I don't. I don't. You know, it's practically nothing as far as dead cap if you release him.
Right.
I think it's like $250,000. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I don't think there's room for Jonathan Stewart. He served his mission. Like I said, they were looking to get a little production out of him, Patty, maybe some short yardage goal line out of him. That didn't work out because he got injured. He really helped with the culture in the locker room. He was part of the process of turning it around, attitude wise, you know, culture wise, like I just said. But I don't see a spot for him next season.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, unfortunately, not very much in the way of production. Like you said, the injury, they chose not to bring him back off of injured reserve. They could have easily found a spot for him, I think, if they wanted to. And I think that said a lot. Yeah. But the fact that they kept Jonathan Stewart around, he was around the team to continue to help with building that culture. You know, I say, you know, you send him off. You've given him, basically the best gift you could have given him, which is that nice contract, which should, you know, send him if he retires, which, you know, he could very well. I don't know what his plans are, but, you've given him a nice little gift, you know, to send him into retirement if that's where he heads.
No question. No question about it. Like you said, I think there's a good chance he could retire. You know, I don't know. I'm not speaking that like I know something from Stewart. I'm just saying that I could see him retiring. I don't think he's going to want to go to another team for another year, but we'll see down the road. But no, I don't think he will be back here next year.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to see him back here next year as well. But other than, you know, the guys that are potentially coming back, do you think the Giants might surprise and add another guy to the mix? I mean, just when we think, you know, we've got them figured out, Dave Gettleman seems to throw us a little bit of a curveball. So could you see them maybe swapping out, I don't know, a Paul Perkins or even a Wayne Gallman, you think?
You mean addressing it in a draft?
A draft or free agency, either one.
I see free agency. I see undrafted free agency. Oh, yeah, I can see. I could definitely see Gettleman bringing in a few more guys on drafted free agents coming in next year. Oh, yeah. He likes the competition. Why not? I mean, let them compete with Gallman and Perkins and, you know what I mean, and a Robin Martin. Let him. He's going to step up on. He's going to compete next year. You know, so, yeah, I could definitely see that. No question about it. I don't think there's no way in the draft, but I think undrafted free agents, I think Gettleman will bring in a few, yes.
Is it fair to say, in your opinion, that the Giants running game has gone from being one of the team's weaknesses to a strength?
I don't think there's any question. Yeah. I don't think there's any question. Yeah.
And this is despite the fact that they struggled at times behind that offensive line that was inconsistent too.
And Patty, look what happened in the second half of the year when the offense played much better. What was the focal point of the offense that Sherman did? He ran it through Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The focal point of this offense in the second half of the season was through Saquon Barkley. A lot of play. He got Eli Moore play action involved. That's where Eli's at his best. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it took, you know what? It was an adjustment for Coach Sherman too, man. He had to adjust to his personnel. He had to realize, you know what? And it happened after the bye week. He realized, you know what, I have to run this offense through 26, you know, and that'll set up more play action and all that. And the offense is way, especially Eli, way more effective. So, Pat, I don't think there's any question going into 2019. Next year, you're going to see this offense run through 26. And that'll open up things more for 13 on the outside for Beckham, no question.
And I don't know about you, but I certainly wouldn't have a problem with that. I actually would look forward to something like that.
Yeah, I think Sherman realized that, Pat. I think Sherman realized that this is the way we have to go, especially if Eli's back next year, Pat, that we have to run the offense and we have to help out Eli more. Hey, listen, Pat, we know that Eli was the most effective early in his career winning Super Bowls when he had a nice running game and he could do that play action thing. That's his thing, man.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Look, I like the direction this offense is headed in. They just need a couple more pieces. And we will, of course, talk about what those pieces are as we get through the rest of our review on the offense this week. But Chris, overall, running backs, you know, just absolutely. This brought back memories of the Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw days for me.
Yeah, especially the second half of the season, the way – Saquon, I think he had 400-yard games in a row, whatever he had at that one point. So very, listen, and you're going to see more of that next year, Pat, because I don't think there's any question the offensive line is going to be upgraded. That doesn't, I mean, they're going to bring in a couple of guys in the offensive line. That doesn't mean it's going to be better, and they have to play well. Don't get me wrong, but I think they will, Pat. I think it's going to be a much improved running game if you could envision that, my friend.
Oh my God, can you imagine how much scarier that running game can be?
Yeah.
Wild indeed. All right. So on that note, Giant fans, we're going to call it a show. As always, we want to thank you for tuning in. Chris, tell everybody where they can find your work.
Okay. On Twitter, at Giant Insider. Please listen to our podcast, me and Jerry Foley, the senior editor of the Giant Insider podcast, every Monday and Thursday night. We'll talk about the buffoons and all that. How you can get buffoon shirts. I know you love that, Patty.
I'm still waiting for mine, man.
I'm going to text Jerry right after this to make sure to get it over to you. And and the GiantInsider.com. Subscribe to our newspaper, bi-weekly newspaper, the Giant Insider, me and Jerry Foley. A lot of writing. I think everybody enjoyed it. And thank you so much, Patty. We'll talk soon, I guess.
Yes, we will be continuing our position by position breakdown. We will have, I think, are we going to do tight ends or receivers? You know what? I might let you pick which one we do next, since you've been kind enough to do this whole week with me. So, right,
whatever
Giant
you
fans.
Want. You know what? We'll do Odell next. We'll do the receivers.
Okay, we could do that. We could certainly do that. All right, Giant fans. On that note, we will call it a show, and we will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening, Trisha Trader for Chris Biziano. Signing off. Take care.